recent sting in the Chippewa Valley netted 8 men who are charged with going online to seek out sex with children. This disturbing news story is not new to our region or other parts of the state. So today on the West Side, we've gathered a panel of guests from the world of law enforcement and psychology to learn more about the sting itself, the problem, and possible solutions to the issue of child sexual exploitation. But first, it's WPR's Winter Pledge Drive, and to tell you more about how your support helps produce regional programs like this, along with the great state programming you love, I'm going to defer now to Regional Managers Dean Collenbeck of Eau Claire and Rick Ryer of Wausau.
Hi, Dean Collenbeck here with Rick Ryer. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. Your gift right now, really important. It keeps programs like the West Side going strong. So invest in your future listening with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Giving to WPR is really easy. All we need is your name, contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how you'd like to pay it.
Make it as a one-time gift, or better yet, start automatic sustaining donations directly from your bank account. You get to choose how to give, and then you do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It is an election year, believe it or not, and the West Side is in the midst of featuring candidates for the various legislative races in western Wisconsin. It's part of our commitment to serve the community and give voters firsthand information about the candidates.
Yeah, we'll be preparing that and featuring that in the summer and in the fall. And for more than two decades on the West Side, you've been able to learn about the candidates and their positions on the issues. And you've been able to question them about the issues that matter in the region. This forum is thanks to listener support. Step up and join the community of listeners who make the West Side possible with a gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge matters, and every pledge helps pay for the programs just like the West Side that you enjoy and rely on Wisconsin Public Radio. During this drive, ask for your very own WPR t-shirt when you give $10 a month.
Well, it's a new spin on a classic. It's a gray cotton t-shirt with a circular WPR design printed right here in Wisconsin. Ask for your t-shirt when you give at $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm John White. Let's talk about public radio. I've been listening to public radio for about 15 years. Civil discourse makes public broadcasting all the more valuable because it sifts out the noise, the anger, and agenda setting of commercial media. That's why public radio is my source for the gold standard in fair and honest discussion.
You can make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Dean Collenbeck with Rick Ryer, and we're asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during this final day of the Winter Membership Drive. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and count on your gift.
And maybe you've never pledged to WPR before. Today, you can find out how it feels.
It feels pretty good. It feels good to support something you love, something you use and rely on every day. Put your money where your values are. When you make your first ever pledge of $5 a month, or whatever is right for you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Have you ever heard something on Wisconsin Public Radio that you've wanted to pass on to a friend? With program notes on the website and audio archives, you can pass things on. Maybe you already do.
Great way to stay connected with others by passing on ideas, stories, and information. We help you stay connected with your friends and family and with the world. Your donation, well, keeps that connection going.
Make your pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Maybe giving a dollar a day is the right amount for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. When you think about it, a dollar a day is a pretty good value, less than a cup of coffee or even a soda or a day of cell phone service.
A dollar a day comes out to about $30 a month, and you can set that up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or credit card, but you have to make your pledge to do that right now in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or 888 202 2552.
A pledge, by definition, is a promise, and we pledge to bring you great shows every day. You pledge to support them with your contribution in any amount.
And when you help pay the costs of this station, we'll make sure there's something interesting for you to listen to. That's our pledge. Now, make yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 really helps.
And this pledge drive, support the radio you love and ask for your new snappy WPR t-shirt. It's yours when you give a gift of $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you.
Wisconsin Public Radio is a service of the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board and the University of Wisconsin Extension, with additional financial support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and from listeners through the Wisconsin Public Radio Association. Support also comes from the Mabel Tainter Center for the Arts in Menominee. The five-member ensemble Ring of Kerry brings the music and song of Ireland to the Mabel Tainter, Saturday, March 19th. Details and tickets are at mabeltainter.org.
I'm Rich Kramer. You're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. A big thanks to those who have pledged in the past or are pledging right now. We appreciate your support. Also, a big thanks to Dean Kallenbeck and Rick Ryer for helping get the message out. Today, we're talking about online stings that are netting men suspected of being interested in having sex with children in the Chippewa Valley and across the state. I'd like to introduce my guests this hour. First, Matt Rokas is Eau Claire Police Department's deputy chief, and he's a detective with the Chippewa Valley Regional Computer Forensics Lab, and he joins us in our studio here in Eau Claire. Matt Rokas, thanks for being here.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Also joining us in studio is Doug Matthews. He is UW-Eau Claire's behavioral neuroscience professor at UW-Eau Claire and is also the psychology department chair. Doug Matthews, thank you for joining us as well.
Yeah, thank you very much for the invitation.
And joining us by phone, we have Jesse Crow. He is a special agent in charge with the Department of Justice's Division of Criminal Investigation. Jesse Crow, thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Yep, thank you very much as well.
So I want to jump right into it. Earlier this month, there was a sting operation that netted eight men looking online at advertisements for sex with underage children. Matt Rokas, I'll start with you. How did you know that, I mean, how did this thing come to be? I imagine there's some preparation that goes into an effort like this.
Yes, it's a demand that we know is out there. And so as a response and an ongoing effort, this past February 4th and 5th, law enforcement officers from six different police departments in West Central Wisconsin, and then with help with the Wisconsin Department of Justice, we conducted this undercover operation. And it resulted in the arrest of 10 men. We arrested eight on the first weekend, and then two more on subsequent days following that. These 10 men were either using websites or social media applications for the sole purposes of preying on children.
Social media applications that we all know. I mean, I know you have to be pretty vague in your answers here, but things like Facebook or Twitter or something like that?
There's a variety of them. Some are more common to probably your listener, and others, you know, I would say a little bit more in the shadows.
Now, when we're talking about sex with children, I'm wondering, how old were these fictional children supposed to be? I mean, are we talking 17, 16, or is it much younger than that?
It's younger than that. What our investigators did is we posted online advertisements. Most of the ads were younger kids, much younger than kind of that age 18 area. And we posted ads either posing as a child who was interested in meeting an adult for sex, or even more troubling, we would post ads as an adult who was looking to traffic one of our own children for sex. Hmm. We received a lot of responses, text messages, emails, phone calls, and it's that dialogue that resulted in the arrest of these men.
Now, I'm curious, and this one can go – actually, I'll go to Jesse Crow of DCI for this question, but – Do other people, you know, contact these advertisements or reach out to these officers posing as children or traffickers, but not set up a meeting? I mean, do people get close, but not all the way into a point where they're going to be arrested?
Yes, we have both types of people that respond. Ones that show up and be arrested. We have ones that are thinking about it but don't show up. And then we also have the Good Samaritans that are, this is wrong, I don't want you to do this, you shouldn't be on here, you need to get help. And they do contact local law enforcement saying there is a child here or there is a parent on this site trying to traffic their child. And we collect data from all three of those types of responses.
And right off the bat, I want to ask you, Jesse Crow, is this kind of crime, or I'm reading more about these stings online than I have ever in my life. So is law enforcement arresting more, or is the demand growing?
I think the awareness, the resources that are available, I think our arrest numbers are up because of that. We have a lot more partnerships in the state that work together to do these type of operations, whether it's just doing one arrest on one day or doing large-scale operations like they did in the Chippewa Valley. You know, over the last year, just in the statewide, we've had 79 proactive cases for, you know, people that want to meet a child for sex. Mm. And the arrests are up there as well. So
that's something else. I mean, it's like this whole underbelly that, I mean, it's right in our face. Matt Rokas, I mean, these kind of people could be, I mean, they're, for the sting with the 10 men in western Wisconsin and west central Wisconsin, what kind of a draw? I mean, how far were people traveling to try to arrange meetings?
Well, we arrested one man who's from Wausau, who traveled all the way over here. He's the guy that had been arrested just a few weeks earlier for the same type of activity. And then we received responses going the other direction to Minneapolis, St. Paul area, north, and then down south even towards La Crosse.
Now, are there ever any women caught up in these types of stings, or is it generally men?
In our region, we haven't arrested any women yet, but it is worth noting, it doesn't seem to be like there's a stereotypical online predator. Of the men we arrested earlier this month, they ranged in age from 19 years old out to 68 years old, and they come from a wide variety of socioeconomical backgrounds.
Say, I want to remind our listeners that they can call in with a question or a comment. 800-228-5615 is the number to call in. We're talking about people going online to seek out sex with children. Also, this is the whole underpinnings of this is there's issues of child sex trafficking that has been a growing concern in Wisconsin and other states in recent years. Probably been around for a while, but awareness seems to be up right now. 800-228-5615. If you've got a question for our guests, we've got Doug Matthews, UW-Eau Claire Behavioral Neuroscience Professor. Jesse Crow is a special agent in charge with the Division of Criminal Investigation. And Matt Rokas, Eau Claire Police Department Deputy Chief and Detective with the Chippewa Valley Regional Computer Forensics Lab. 800-228-5615. And at what point does someone, you know, someone that might go online and discuss things with a person, an officer posing as a child or as a trafficker, at what point does someone become a suspect, and at what point could they be arrested? I mean, what's the cutoff? I'll go to you, Matt Rokas.
Well, I think there's a couple different thresholds. You know, once that suspect starts taking steps to set up a meet, to meet with the, you know, the officers who are involved, once they take that first step forward. And anything else that's, you know, when it becomes clear that it's an attempted, you know, an attempt towards sexual contact, there's other things that can be considered a crime or criminal related to it, exposing a child to harmful materials, sharing of pictures, videos, other things like that. So there's a wide spectrum of that. The worst cases is when they want to actually meet, though. But there's some lower threshold type behavior that is criminal.
All right. Now, these kind of stings, I imagine, would take resources. I'm wondering what kind of resources does the Department of Justice, you know, the state, offer to local agencies, Jesse Crow?
Sure. We offer agents, obviously, technology that we have through our technical resources area, and then also partnership with all of our local agencies. We have roughly 230 affiliate agencies through our Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, and those agencies work together in operations just like the one that that Matt's been describing. I'd like to add something about, you had asked about women being arrested. We rarely see women arrested for trying to meet the child, but we've arrested women that are doing recruitment for pimps for prostitution rings in these types of cases. Hmm. Brown County did an operation this past fall where they arrested two women that were attempting to recruit a child into a prostitution ring. So it spans all over, not just trying to meet the child for sex, but also to get them to work for some type of criminal organization.
Matt Rokas.
Yeah, just to follow up on a good point that Jesse made, too, with the partnerships and collaboration, and that's been critical for us, especially the support that we've had locally in the Chippewa Valley from the Wisconsin Department of Justice. Individuals who are engaged in this type of behavior, they're not bound by jurisdictional boundaries. It's a regional issue. Mm-hmm. The technology that's involved is ever-changing. It's rapidly growing. And it's through the support that we've had through ICAC and the Department of Justice has really helped us regionally be able to address this issue where we otherwise wouldn't have been able to.
Right. And Matt's completely correct. It is a statewide issue, and we cannot do this alone with just the Department of Justice. We rely on all of our partners, the federal and local and state agencies, to combat these crimes.
800-228-5615. If anyone's got a question or a comment for our guests or would like to add something to this discussion, we're talking about stings, in a recent sting in the Chippewa Valley earlier this month that caught 10 men looking to arrange sex with children based on advertisements online. 800-228-5615. I want to talk about these advertisements. Again, I'm sure you can't mention specific web pages, but Jesse Crow, what are we talking about? Where can you go? I mean, what kind of advertisements are we talking about here?
Sure, and we can mention some of the online sites. So,
I mean, one is pretty well known because it's netted all kinds of trafficking arrests, too. That's Backpage, correct?
Correct. Backpage and Craigslist are really, you know, where a lot of these advertisements are placed. It's pretty well known across the country about Craigslist. They had the Craigslist killer out in the East Coast. And the advertisements can be very benign to very, very aggressive. It really depends on who is answering them, what they feel like they're into.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Now, I want to go to you, Doug Matthews. As far as, you know, from a psychological standpoint, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here with questions, but what is going through, when we're talking about someone that's seeking out or responding to these advertisements or interested in having sex with children, is it a compulsion? Is it an addiction? Any idea of what is going through these people's minds? Is there any kind of studies that have looked into this?
Yeah, so that's a good question, and I'm going to address really just kind of the whole concept of sex and not so much the particular sting operation that the law enforcement recently completed. So the idea of whether or not sex is an actual addiction or is it something else is something that, frankly, the science is behind on. And I think that's probably for a few different reasons. It's kind of a difficult topic to talk about. It's kind of a difficult topic to be able to think of how would I actually go about and study it in a way that was meaningful. Mm-hmm. I would say really in the last 5 to 7 years, since the concept of sex addiction is much more common among the public with individuals expressing that or therapists offering help for things like that. There has been some really good work demonstrating that the idea that, sex is a rewarding factor can have addictive-like properties to it. So if you look at brain scans of people that have chronically used pornography for long, long periods of time, and then give them an opportunity to view pornography again, their brain scans resemble the same kind of scans you would get from someone who was a cocaine addict, someone who was a heroin addict, someone who was a long-term alcohol user.
So endorphins?
Not so much endorphins, but more along the lines of like dopamine. So inside of your brain, you have a reward system that, anything's pleasurable can be hijacked into being addictive. You know, we tend to get addicted to things that we, find enjoyable, and, sex falls inside that category.
Sure.
You know, so there does seem to be some pretty strong neurological data to suggest in, these individuals that, there is a brain addictive state. The other thing that's probably more relevant to the current topic is there was a study done in Germany 18 months ago, something like that, where they, looked at the amount of white matter in the brain. And this is a, measure of connectivity of the brain, and found that in long-term chronic pornography users, white matter was decreased. The amount of white matter that, existed was down. And that's critical because that suggests that the brain's not doing as good a job of using information, can impair decision-making and things like that. And obviously, individuals that are engaged in answering ads like this, I mean, it's awful. And they're obviously making really, really bad decisions. You know, so that's one side that seems to suggest that, yeah, there's a body of evidence to suggest that maybe this is addictive. The field, though, doesn't really know what to do with it. In the most recent Diagnostic Statistical Manual for Psychological Disorders, sex addiction was not included. Hypersexual behavior was not included. There doesn't seem to be a consensus yet that this is something that is real, something that is diagnosed, that you can diagnose in a reliable way. And that hinders treatment options and the exploration of treatment.
So there's still disagreement whether it's physiological or just some kind of a bad habit or something?
Well, you know, it would be more than habit. You know, it's kind of like that notion of, as the field struggles to try and understand what should and should not be classified as a disorder. Much like when you would go to the doctor and you give them a set of symptoms, and, the doctor, the MD, would give you back a diagnosis of it. It's an attempt to really try and be able to come up with something like that. That as you went to a therapist, as you went to a psychiatrist, they would be able to listen to your symptoms, have a conversation with you, and be able to come up with a diagnosis that would go across treatment facilities or go across individuals. Where it is now is it's kind of in this unknown category of you know, there's a series of not other specified sexual aspects of mental illness, mental disorder, and the field just hasn't really quite come up with a diagnostic criteria set yet to be able to diagnose individuals into this.
But there's more effort to do that than ever before?
Yeah. If, you know, as I was getting ready to come in for this today, you know, I went to a federal government website that lists research studies. And if you just type in sex addiction, you know, one of the things is 20 years ago, there was no studies on it. Mm. And now it's, you know, the trend is tremendous. I mean, there's definitely a need for it. When I teach a course over the summer on the psychology of addictions, and one of the things that I do is I have the students just Google the word pornography, and the number of hits that come up, you know, is hundreds of millions. It's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's definitely a topic that is generating a tremendous amount of research effort right now. It's just the attempt to try and catch up with what exactly is the situation and think of ways that we can talk about it, that it's not in the back corner of a back room or something like that.
With that, let's take a break on the conversation. As I mentioned before, we are at the tail end of our winter pledge drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. Your support is vital to programs like this, where we take and break down a big issue, a national, international issue, break it down and look at how it's impacting us in our region here in western Wisconsin, west central Wisconsin. With more information about how that is, how your donations help with that, we've got Rick Ryer of the Wausau Bureau and Dean Kallenbeck of the Eau Claire Bureau of Wisconsin Public Radio right now.
I'm Dean Kallenbeck with Rick Ryer. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. Your support is an essential piece of the funding for the West Side and for all the programs you enjoy here on WPR. And this drive is the time for you to take action. Become a WPR contributor with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your host, Rich Kramer, and our production team at the West Side live right here in western Wisconsin. We often hear from local politicians and office holders that they appreciate coming on the West Side with Rich because he knows the issues, and our callers and listeners know their stuff as well.
We're proud to be a forum where listeners can interact with candidates running in various races in our region, and we're proud that listener support makes the West Side possible. Join the community of supporters right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Become a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio once you set up a comfortable monthly amount from your bank or credit card. Your support goes right to work toward the programming you appreciate.
And of course, because of your sustaining donation automatically renewing each year, that support will always be current. You don't have to wonder if it's your time of the year to give when you hear a pledge drive. Become a sustainer right now with a gift of $5 or $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When we moved to Wisconsin in 1976, one of the special things about moving to Wisconsin, which I hadn't anticipated, was that Wisconsin Public Radio is such a terrific treasure for Wisconsin. We got hooked. So as far as I'm concerned, there's really only one radio station. If you ask me to find some other station, I don't think I could find it, because I just listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. Why would you go anywhere else?
Well, where you can go is to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this final day of the winter membership drive. Dean Kallenbeck here with Rick Ryer asking for your support of WPR. Your gift of $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose, well, that's the right amount.
Listeners like you make the programs here on Wisconsin Public Radio worthwhile. But members, hopefully like you, make the programs possible.
You get all these great shows because members kick in a large portion of WPR's budget, the single largest part. Become a member now. Help make WPR possible with your gift of $5 a month or any amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're thinking your tax dollars, federal and state, already support WPR, well, you're right. They do, and we thank you for that.
Yeah, but contributions from individual listeners make the quality and variety of programs on WPR possible. Listener support is actually the single biggest piece of our budget pie. You do make the difference. And because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the radio programs you listen to at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We ask that you make a contribution, and we also ask that you give an amount that's comfortable for you. Some give $5 a month, some give $100 a month or more.
Whatever the amount, we'll use it to support the programs you enjoy, keeping your source for information and entertainment going strong. So give now, whatever amount is comfortable for you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Everything you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio is the result of thoughtful preparation. We do our homework so that you get the highest quality radio programs. Show your commitment to this quality. Commit now and make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're a minute away from rejoining the West Side, but help out now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this pledge drive, you can ask for your WPR t-shirt. It's a brand new t-shirt. Show your pride for the radio you love when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member, thank you. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 a month or whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your pledge right now is so important at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you.
Many thanks to Rick Ryer of our Wausau Bureau and Dean Kallenbeck right here in Eau Claire for helping get the word out about WPR. And the time is now to donate to WPR if you haven't already. We appreciate your support. This hour, we're talking on the west side about stings in Wisconsin and one recently earlier this month right here in western Wisconsin that netted 10 men looking online at advertisements that were selling or purporting to sell sex with children. 800-228-5615 is the number to call. I'm joined by Matt Rokas. He's the Eau Claire Police Department Deputy Chief. He's also a detective with the Chippewa Valley Regional Computer Forensics Lab. Jesse Crow is a special agent in charge with the Department of Justice, Division of Criminal Investigation. Doug Matthews is UW-Eau Claire's Department Chair of Psychology. He's also a behavioral neuroscience professor. 800-228-5615. So we're talking about these stings, and I have to ask, and I guess I'll go to Jesse Crow. How do these stings, how is luring men into approaching officers posing as children online? How is that different than entrapment? I guess that's a question that comes up pretty often whenever there are stings with this or any many other kinds of crimes. How do you avoid that?
Well, there's certain rules that we have to go by when we do these. One of the things is that they come to us. Mm-hmm. The suspects come to us and bring the ideas up to us about what to do. It's not overly realistic at times because in the real world you have children online, and sometimes the children or the adults bring up both meeting, having a relationship together. So it is a little different, but we're very careful to monitor how we do these. We also work with local prosecutors to make sure that there are no entrapment issues on these types of cases.
Sure. Now, Matt Rokas, if there's a sting in a place like the Chippewa Valley, does that mean that there's a disproportionate amount of people in this area that are seeking out sex with children? I mean, is the Chippewa Valley a hot spot for this kind of activity?
I wouldn't say it's any more prevalent here than in other areas. We do take a very proactive stance here regionally because of it and because of the impact that we have. And then we also have some unique capabilities in the law enforcement community to deal with that. So it isn't more prevalent here, but you know, we put a priority on protecting the public, and we put a priority on protecting the vulnerable segments of the public, like children, and so it is an area of focus for us.
This is a question for both of you, Jesse Crow and Matt Rokas from the world of law enforcement, as I like to say. And I'll start with Matt Rokas. Is this type of sting, are these stings or these operations where he poses children or as someone that's trafficking a child, is that addressing demand, or is that to have any impact at all on, you know, the supply of the issue of child sex trafficking?
I think it impacts both. I hope to run an operation like this in 2 years, 3 years, and we get no responses. Unfortunately, that's probably not going to be the case, but we'll keep trying on that. There's a public safety component of it, though, as well. I mean, of these 10 men that we arrested, many of them are very dangerous people. Several were registered sex offenders. Some of them had been to prison and back out. And so there's just a benefit, public protection benefit, by removing some of these individuals from our community.
And Jesse Crow, what is being done? What can the state do to address child sex trafficking? I mean, we've had other programs specifically looking at human trafficking, but if this targets both, I mean, what can you do specifically to get after that?
Yeah, and Matt's right. It's a public safety component of this, is that we're out there looking for suspects in a proactive way, but we only do this several times a year at the most around the state, and you have child victims, real child victims, that are being solicited, they're meeting up with adults, they're being abused by adults every day, both in Wisconsin and outside of Wisconsin, and this does go towards the demand. It shows people that we are proactively doing this. We're out here trying to rescue children, to prevent children in the future from being abused. A couple years ago, the Attorney General and the legislature allowed us to hire three new agents, what are specifically used for child sex trafficking. And so those agents go out and they investigate basically human trafficking that target children for the purposes of sex. And these are prostitution rings, but it's not only in the big city areas. We've arrested suspects and rescued children in the most rural parts of the state as well for this. The Attorney General's Office and the Wisconsin Department of Children and Families have a statewide human trafficking task force working group, which it's going to focus on victim services. What can we do for the victims? What's out there right now? What do we need to provide services to the victims, both the ones that are just meeting adults online, but also ones that are going into the human trafficking portion of it? Public education, law enforcement education, education of our medical facilities, and then also to focus on the enforcement action of this. What are we doing at the street level, at the patrol level, all the way up to our division and the FBI for human trafficking in the state that focuses on children?
And speaking of enforcement and penalties, what kinds of penalties are these suspects that were swept up in this net and others Matt Roque is looking at? I mean, they're significant, aren't they?
Many of them are going to prison. That's based on their behavior that was exhibited during this operation. But another variable is their criminal history, their criminal record. I mean, some of them are registered sex offenders. They've been down this road before. They've been offered treatment options, didn't respond to them, and they're still back, you know, they're still victimizing members of our community. So there's significant consequences that are related to this.
We're talking about possible decades plus in prison, right?
It could be, yes.
It could be. 800-228-5615. Phone lines are wide open. If anyone's got a question or a comment, we're talking about online child sex stings in the Chippewa Valley and beyond. 800-228-5615. So have you noticed that these stings are having any kind of impact on demand, Jesse Crow, or is it just a wheel that keeps turning?
Unfortunately, Matt said it'd be very nice to have a operation where we get zero responses, but it doesn't happen. The wheels keep turning. Unfortunately, it's a very large state, and with all the different types of investigations departments have to do, they have to spread their time over all that, plus doing these proactive investigations. And it's a difficult thing to look at every single day and try and go out there and get these suspects every day when they have other stuff going on.
Definitely, and when budgets are tighter than they've been for quite a while, I imagine. Doug Matthews, I want to ask you, from a psychological perspective, I don't know if any studies have been done on this, and you mentioned that the research is kind of lacking, at least in the U.S., and it's we're working on that, but do you think these kind of penalties, the stiff penalties, have any impact? Or if a person is already, you know, in this mindset, can they be snapped out of it by the fear of a stiff prison sentence or having their picture plastered all over the news?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different ways to answer that. I mean, does the stiff penalty do anything? And I think the most obvious answer to that is if someone is arrested and tried and convicted, obviously beyond a reasonable doubt, that's a person who's guilty of this particular crime. And if you take that individual off of the street, then what you've done is you've taken an individual off the street that's demonstrated this is the kind of behavior that they'll engage in. Mm-hmm. So that's in my view, that's a good way to – that's a good thing to do. But your question really gets more at the idea of, you know, does this kind of a sting and then giving publicity to this kind of sting maybe decrease the likelihood that somebody else would engage in that in the future? I think that's a really interesting question that has a couple of different components to it. The first one is we know that people learn a tremendous amount by watching other people, vicarious learning. That's, you know, we do that all the time. And vicarious learning of watching somebody else's behavior and the consequences that come with that is incredibly powerful. Also, one of the things that we've learned about addiction, and if you do agree or you do believe that maybe sexual addiction does exist in that sense, one of the things we know about addiction is it can be thought of in many ways. One of them is an impaired form of learning. Addicts engage in behavior that that they think they're going to get a different outcome in. There's a variety of ways that we as the field are attempting to combat that. But one of the things that we do know is that if we can alter that reward or consequences kind of behavior, then the likelihood of being able to reduce it in others in the future can be good. So in that sense, I think that the punitive part of this is something that actually – the punitive part of it and then actually showing what that punitive part is can lead to a reduction, at least in my opinion, of this behavior in the future.
With that, let's go to the phone. We've got the first call of the morning and probably the last because our time is short. We're going to hear from Dennis in Eau Claire. Dennis, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Yes. I'm curious to know, as far as child sex offenders, is that a specific demographic in any type of society? So is that 1% of the population, 2% of the population that are current and steady? Is it a growing population, or is it just one of those things in any large population group, there's going to be a certain percentage of people that have that addiction and that problem?
Sure. Interesting question. Thanks for that, Dennis. Real quick, Jesse Crow, do we have any stats on in a population of 100,000, there's likely to be X numbers of people?
I do not have those stats. I would definitely have what the professor information, if he would have any on that.
Yeah. Doug Matthews.
Darn, I was hoping you had that answer. No, we don't. It's one of those things that like I say, the field is relatively young, and it's a challenging topic to be able to talk about. Other forms of mental distress, like depression or something like that, has really just kind of worked its way into being able to be talked about without there being stigmas that attach to it. So our ability to be able to gather valid, reliable data on the number of people that suffer from sexual something, is not as good. There has been some work, some pretty good work demonstrating on, pornography consumption and things like that. But the number of people that actually engage in child exploitation or percentages per 100,000, I just don't know that answer.
And very quickly, Doug Matthews, do you think we as a culture might be more prone to having people slip through the cracks and engaging in these types of activities, searching out sex with children, because, there's some say that happens because we're a repressed society. We're afraid to talk about sex, and if we were more open about it, it might not be such an issue, or is that wishful thinking?
What you're going to get here is, in this answer, is you're going to get just my opinion. Okay?
Sure.
So, let me step off the opinion, the UWEC kind of banner. I think, part of one of the things that we're struggling with now is the notion of, in my opinion, just the family unit being under attack and kind of disintegrating a little bit, that it's challenging to have lines of open communication between generations, between kids and parents and those caregivers. And I think that just kind of makes it hard.
And very quickly, we've got literally one or 2 minutes left. What do we look like in the future? Does this just keep continuing? Matt Rokas, future stings just keep happening, or is there any end game in sight here?
Well, the members of the Eau Claire Police Department and our other law enforcement partners, we make it a priority of protecting everyone in our community. It's a priority to protect the vulnerable segments of our community like children, and we won't relent in those efforts.
And Jesse Crow, your thoughts on where do we go from here?
Well, technology is ever increasing, and it's difficult to keep a grasp on what's current. So I believe we will have these problems for a while. I just wanted to put out something real quick, that if anybody has any concerns about someone involved in trafficking or victims, they can contact their local police department or contact 1-800-THE-LOST.
and that goes to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and they can provide information to them and contact the local law enforcement as well.
Great. We'll post a link on our Facebook page as well for anyone that might have missed that. If you've missed part of the program or would like to listen again, you can check out our online archives at WPR.org to listen to this program or many others, a year's worth of archives online. Thank you to my guests. Matt Rokas is it's Eau Claire Police Department's deputy chief, and he's a detective with the Chippewa Valley Regional Computer Forensics Lab. Thank you very much. Jesse Crow is a special agent in charge with the Department of Justice's Division of Criminal Investigation. Thank you. And Doug Matthews is UW Eau Claire's department chair of philosophy, and he's also a behavioral neuroscience professor at the university, a tongue twister for me today, I guess. Thank you all very much for the discussion. It's our winter pledge drive. If you have not pledged yet, please do. Your support is vital to WPR. We'll be back in just a bit.
This is the final day of the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. I'm Dean Kallenbach with Rick Ryer, and you know you're always going to be hearing something worthwhile when you tune in to Wisconsin Public Radio, and especially to the West Side. Today, we're asking you to put a value on the program and everything else you hear on WPR by making a gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Giving to WPR is so easy. All it takes is just a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, say $10 a month.
Now, that donation will come back to you every day in the form of great programs. Show your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Give as generously as you can.
Every election year, the West Side provides election forums for every state legislative race in western Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Rich and the West Side team are committed to providing a place where voters can get firsthand information about all the candidates.
And of course, we're talking about the issues all the way along as we prepare for those elections this summer and fall. We are telling you that when you pledge your support, you make that kind of access to the candidates on the West Side possible. So make your gift now. Support one of the gems in our community at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
During this membership drive, you can get the latest WPR t-shirt when you give a gift of $10 a month or more, or a one-time gift of $120. Your donation supports this program and all the programs you count on. And you get this pretty darn cool t-shirt.
It's gray with a circular WPR logo design. It's USA made and it's printed right here in Wisconsin. Tell the world you love WPR with this new t-shirt and ask for yours when you pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name's Meg Marshall and I'm from Weyerhaeuser, Wisconsin. I think today, especially with this crazy world we live in, it's more important than ever that people know what's going on in the world. This is not just about the United States, it's about the entire world. And the only place you find coverage of international issues to the depth that you find them on Wisconsin Public Radio is right here on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Meg from Weyerhaeuser, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. This is Dean Kallenbach. I'm here with Rick Ryer. And together, we are asking for your support of WPR during this winter membership drive. Final break during the West Side on the winter membership drive. Maybe your gift will be $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose. Well, that's the right amount.
You connect with Wisconsin Public Radio for information, great conversations, and entertainment. 9XM leadership gifts of $100 a month or more are critical in supporting that connection for you and others across the state.
Keep our connection strong to you, to all WPR listeners, with a leadership gift of $100 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
On WPR, you get unbiased news, high-quality entertainment, informative talk, and great music. You get a rich experience no matter when you tune in.
This depth and breadth is possible because of your contributions, listener contributions. Make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, if you've been listening to WPR for a while without pledging, maybe you haven't given because you didn't know that we were listener-supported. Well, we are. The single largest piece of our budget comes from listeners just like you. Or maybe you want to listen for a while to see if you liked what you heard.
Well, you're listening, aren't you? After all these months and years, so how about a donation now? Your gift of $5 a month or whatever amount you choose makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio works on the honor system. You don't have to pay for it, but the whole thing works because you do choose to support it. How about a pledge right now of $10 a month?
You decide the amount, then go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift supports the programs you hear every day on WPR.
Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 really helps.
And this pledge drive, support the radio you love. Ask for your T-shirt, the WPR T-shirt. It's yours at $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you.
Support also comes from Wisconsin Credit Union, offering fixed-rate mortgages, adjustable-rate mortgages, WIDA, and federal VA loans for homebuyers, refinancing, or building. WisconsinCU.org.
And another big thanks to Rick Ryer, regional manager of our Wausau Bureau, and Dean Collenbeck, our regional manager of our Bureau right here in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And thank you to the listeners who have pledged and who are supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio. We could not do this without you. If you have not pledged, check out WPR.org or dial 888-202-2552. We appreciate your support. Also, a big thank you to Doug Matthews of UW Eau Claire, Jesse Crow of the Division of Criminal Investigation, and Matt Rokas of the Eau Claire Police Department for helping us out with our discussion about sex stings in western Wisconsin that are targeting men looking for sex with children. A lot of discussion, a lot of great topics to come on the west side. Next week, we're going to have the outdoor guys on and talk about the Red Cedar Watershed Conference on March 10th. A lot of great speakers talking about how to reduce phosphorus levels and clean up our rivers and lakes. That is next Monday morning. Until then, have a safe and productive week. I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks for listening.